Well, believe it or not, we are not far from spring, at least as the calendar tells us. Calendar says, I think, and it's 2 days away, I think, is the first official day of spring, and after a fairly cold and fairly snowy winter, I bet some of us are ready to say hip hip hooray or woohoo or whatever it is we do to celebrate that. Hopefully the weather will decide to cooperate with the calendar. We've already had a couple flowers that popped up in one of the warm spells a few weeks ago before it snowed again and then warmed up and snowed again, and you know how that works. But they broke through for a bit. Anybody here have a green thumb when it comes to that kind of thing, planting? I don't at all. I don't have a knack for that at all. Like I said, we have a flower that popped up, and we have some of those that do, and those are the perennials, is that right? I always get it confused. They have nothing to do with me. They come up all by themselves. I have nothing to do with that. Have you ever thought, though, about how incredible a little seed is? In a single solitary seed, life is just waiting to burst forth, to come out. Yet it can't burst out all by itself. I think farmers and horticulturalists and plum old green thumbs would attest to the fact that to have the best success when you plant a seed, you want to have the soil right. You want good soil. Some things like weeds, they're going to grow in anything, but if you want to have something fruitful, to be cultivated, you want the soil to be ready for it to do its best. We're in a message series that we're calling No Fooling, where we're looking at some of the things that Jesus taught and did, some of the things about Jesus that he was about, and the fact that Jesus wasn't fooling. He wasn't fooling, he wasn't fooling us. In a day of great skepticism, whatever Jesus brings, friends, it is the real deal. It's the real deal. Today we're going to look at another parable that Jesus taught. And a parable, again, is just a short story that communicates or that teaches something important to us. And in this story, we hear about a man who plants the same seed in four different soil conditions, who gets four different results because of those conditions. Understand, it's the same seed, but it's the soil condition that's different. This parable represents the goodness of God and that he offers the same to all of us, but it's the condition of our heart that affects the outcome of the seed that he plants. So let's open in prayer, and then we'll take a look at this great parable of Jesus, because no fooling, friends, Jesus offers the same to every one of us. So let's go and let's pray. God, thank you that you know our hearts better than we know our hearts. You know when our hearts are ready to receive you and when they're not. You know what it takes to cultivate them and to make them ready for a seed that's strong and good. And God, we just ask that you would do that today for whatever you want to plant in us this morning. Make our hearts ready. Make our minds receptive. Make our ears hearing and our eyes seeing. Lord, that you would speak to us and we would connect with you in a very real way this morning. God, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We find this lesson from Jesus in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. And I encourage you to read through that this week on your own, to read through these couple of parables we're looking at. And I'm going to take us through it kind of a verse or two at a time. We'll work all the way through this story, talking about it as we go. We'll begin with verse 1, where what's happening here is it's setting up the scene for where Jesus was teaching. Before he tells the parable, it sets it up for us. It says this, it says, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. Oh, how I would have loved to have been there, to have been on the shore side, the lake shore, to watch this happening. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be an amazing scene to see? Can you just imagine the excitement? Jesus has been moving about teaching, and now there's grown such an excitement over him, a sheer excitement that the crowd of listeners is growing. The number of people coming are growing, and at this point, they can't any longer fit in a synagogue to hear him teach. They can't fit in somebody's home to hear him teach. They can't just gather in a small group somewhere. The interest of Jesus has just gotten too heightened for that. Can you hear the talk that must have been in the air? Have you heard about this man that they call Jesus? He comes from Nazareth. His teaching is radically different than what we've ever heard from the priests and the scribes or the Pharisees who we're used to listening to. There's something alive about him. He's electric. And then someone in Jesus' time would probably say, what's electric mean? What's electricity? And they say, I don't know, but he's got it. He's got it. Can you just hear the vibe that must have been going about? Wow, this Jesus, someone ought to write his words down in red or something. It's amazing what he does and what he says. And at this scene in the boat, Jesus rows out in the water basically to make like a floating platform, a floating stage from where he can teach. With the natural setting of the hills around the area, there was this natural water amphitheater. And while the guests sat on the shore side, they could see him because he could get far enough out that everyone could see, but not too far that they couldn't hear. And so from that boat, Jesus tells them this story, this parable. Look with me at verses 2 through 9. Let's go through them one at a time here, or one or two at a time. It says this, he taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, listen. Now, when you say listen, that means what I'm about to say, I want you to hear. It's like, listen up. What I'm going to say is important. Listen, he says. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and they ate it up. Now, if Jesus were sharing that parable at our house, he'd probably say the deer came and ate it up. But you can just imagine, you're scattering your seed on the path, you step in the house for a glass of lemonade, and by the time you come out, the birds have converged on it, and all the seed is gone. There's no chance for the seed to grow at all. Then we go to verse 5. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. So stop there just for a moment to get this image of what Jesus is saying. In the area where Jesus was teaching, they had these rock-solid surfaces that would grow like this thin layer of soil across the top of the rock surface. So things could begin to grow, but there was no place for roots to go down. And of course, when that happens, when you scatter seed there, you know what's going to happen. It can't take any root. There's no root system. Let's go on to verse 6. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. What happens when the sun comes beaming down on a rock? What does it do to that rock? It heats it up like a crock pot, doesn't it? And it's going to cook whatever's laying on top of it if there's no place for those roots to get down into the damp, cold earth to keep it alive through the sun. The heat of the stone would burn it out. The little growth of these seeds shriveled in the sun because they had no root system where it was cool and damp. A flower can't grow that way. Let's continue now to verse 7. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Picture a flower bed that's filled with thorns and thistles. You've got this stuff all around you, and it's clear that there's not room for anything real to grow until you clear all of those things out of the way and produce a healthy soil for the seed to take. Jesus gives one more soil scenario in verse 8. He says, still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop multiplying 30, 60, even 100 times. Ah, finally, the last bed of soil is the green thumb's dream. Friends, what's the only factor that's different in all of these seed scattering stories? What's the only thing that's different? It's the soil, right? The soil. The seed that's being offered on all of these surfaces is exactly the same. It's only the soil that was different. Once the soil was good, the seed could grow bountifully. The seed was the same in every soil. It was good. It was the land that received the seed that was different. The sower that was sowing the seed was also indifferent. He spread generously to all types of soil without discrimination. Friends, hear me. Only the soil was different in the story. Jesus shares this parable, and then in the crowd, you have people listening going, ah, ooh, and then, what? If I wanted to know about soil and seeds, I could have stayed home and watched the HGTV network. Do you know what the HGG TV network is? The Home Garden Galilee TV network. They could have done that. I know that's bad. What can I say? There were some that were picking up what Jesus was saying, and some realizing that he had some deeper thoughts going on, and others that were just wondering, what in the world is he talking about? He's talking about seeds and soil. And that's why it says in verse 9, then Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He's saying some of you aren't going to get what it is that I'm saying because you yourselves are hard soil. Your hearts are too hard to get it, but for he or she who gets it, let him understand. After Jesus finished his teaching, the scriptures tell us that he drew away the disciples to explain it further. Follow starting in verse 10 through 12. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Now, at first glance, it sounds like Jesus is saying, I'm talking in parables to confuse some people. I'm trying to fool them because I only have a certain group of insiders that I really want to understand this. So April Fools, let's fool you in this while I am only talking to other people. It's kind of like when I would watch the Adam West Batman when I was a kid on TV, if anybody remembers that old horrible series that was on. And the Riddler, he would have come and the Riddler would give these riddles and Batman and Robin would have to go down to the Batcave and get their great bat minds together with the bat computer to figure out this batty riddle. And then the Riddler, they would do that. And finally, Robin would say something like, "Leaping lizards, Batman. I've got the Riddler. What the Riddler wants, he wants to take over Gotham City," or something simple like that that would make sense. Understand that this isn't what Jesus is doing with his parables. There's no fooling going on here, friends. He's not trying to fool anybody. Jesus didn't use them with intent to further confuse or to trick people. He used them to communicate truths more clearly. The trouble is that when we read the parables in the Bible, it's much different than hearing Jesus tell the story. We miss his tone. We miss his inflection. We miss his heart, his compassion that maybe is in what he's saying. In this case, Jesus isn't saying to the outsiders, I'm giving them a parable that they'll never get. That's not what he's saying. He's stating a fact is what he's doing. He's simply saying there are some whose soil is fertile enough to get this and the truth I'm planting, but there are some that I could say this a million times in a million ways and they just can't or they won't get it. Hear these words again from this passage with a different inflection. Hear them with an inflection of sadness, of compassion, of love. Listen to these words like that once. The secret of the kingdom has been given to you. No fooling. But to those on the outside, those who've not yet embraced truth, everything is said in parables so that, and then he quotes Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. He quotes scripture. He says, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, ever hearing, and never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Doesn't that change the whole meaning of what Jesus is saying when you hear it said in that way? Jesus is expressing the same heart here that he does in the triumphal entry, the Palm Sunday thing that we celebrate next week, and in the account in Luke 19, when Jesus is there, he's entered the city, and he's seen all that's going on, and then he stops and does something strange. He weeps, he cries over the city, and he says in Luke 19, verse 42, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. He might as well say, if even you had been good soil and could receive the seed that I'm trying to plant in you, it would grow and it would blossom and you would become something brand new. After expressing his heart for those who aren't getting it, he goes on to explain the parable and exactly why they're missing it. Pick up with verses 13 through 14. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word." The farmer sows the word. Jesus tells them that what's being sowed is the word of God. It's the word of God, the word that brings life, the word that'll free people from sin, the word that if it takes root in the soil of your life will blossom and grow and create something beautiful, a new life within you, if your soil is right and ready to receive it. Next, he's explaining how the four types of soil are really four types of people. You might find this helpful in people in your life who you've tried to share God's word with, and they just never seem to understand it or be willing to, or their heart seems hard. These four types of people may speak to you about why it's not taking root. They also will speak to us because all of us are in one of these four places. So here's the first type of people he talks about, people with a hard heart, a hard heart. Look at verse 15. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes in, takes away the word that was sown in them. Friends, when a person's heart's hard toward Jesus and his word, it's just like the seed that's thrown on that path. They can hear the word of Jesus, but it just rests on the surface of their heart, and it never penetrates in to get into the soil below. For this person's heart to become good soil, it's going to take a lot of cultivating. Just sharing the message of Jesus over and over, it won't get it. They need lots and lots of prayer. They need lots and lots of kindness. They need to see Jesus lived out being real in our lives, making a real difference in our lives. They need to realize that there really is an empty spot that's beneath all of that hard surface that's crying out, that's void, that's longing for God's love for that seed to make it down. And so Jesus can fill their life. But remember, the surface is really, really hard. And Satan knows that. So each time the sower tries to scatter the seed, Satan's very quick to come in and instill doubt and disbelief and gobble that seed right up so that it can't take root. I had a man come to see me in my office one time in a church where I was serving a stranger. I didn't even know the man. He just came in to talk to me for some reason. To be honest, I think that he was a little bit high from something. But he came in to talk to me, and he was one who had one of these really hard hearts. He was a really hard-hearted person. And we were talking about faith, and he was very quick to tell me that he was agnostic. Now, in case you're not clear on what it means to be agnostic, let me explain it just a bit. It's different from being an atheist. An atheist simply believes that there's no God, period. There is no God. We're on this earth for a time being, and when life on earth is done, you know what? It's all over. That's the end of it. That's what an atheist would believe. An agnostic, on the other hand, doesn't personally believe in God, but he or she doesn't rule out the possibility that there could be a God. They just don't believe that there's been enough proof for them to confidently say, "I'm going to believe in God and place my trust in a God." Well, the man that I met with said that he'd read the whole Bible. He said, "I've read the whole Quran. I've read the Pali Canon, which is a collection of Buddhist scriptures." And he said, "Some other books, I've read some other books," but he still didn't believe in any God. He just believes in being a good person. So I asked him, I said, "Can I just share the Christian message with you in a simple way?" And you know what? He was open to that. But even as I was sharing with him, I could just see those seeds falling on hard ground, on a hard heart that wasn't ready to receive them. He admitted that he'd never heard the message explained in the way that I had explained it to him and that it made sense, but he simply couldn't believe it for himself. Friends, there was maybe a hint of openness in his spirit at a moment or two that I saw, but it was quickly gobbled up by doubts that Satan reminded him of. Friends, this man needs a lot of prayer because his heart is hard. It's not ready to receive. The second type of person that Jesus is talking about here, the second type are people with shallow hearts. Shallow hearts. Look at verses 16 and 17. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word, at once receive it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Friends, as the church, it is so vitally important that we grow people in discipleship. Far too often, the church gets these surface, shallow believers who never develop any root system to their faith. Our roots can't grow deep if we don't learn to read and study the Bible. They can't grow deep if we don't develop a personal prayer life. They can't grow deep if we try to walk this faith path alone. We need to be connected in life groups and Bible studies. The journey class, by the way, the next journey class begins April 8th at 2 o'clock. You can sign up today if you want. Use your connection card. Put your personal information on the one side. On the back, just write the journey and hand that to me, and I'll make sure that you get signed up. You'll be hearing more about that in weeks ahead. But that's another place of connecting. And then by going deep in places of expressing our faith and servanthood and in worship, those are the things that help make our roots deep. As the church, we need to be prepared so that those new in faith can have easy entrance ramps, connecting them to a root system. Otherwise, they're in jeopardy of just having this shallow faith, and when doubt and discouragement and trouble come their way, they're quickly going to burn up in the sun because they have no deep nutrients to keep their faith strong. And here's the unfortunate truth that I've too often witnessed in people over the years who fall away from their faith. Those who've been on that shallow surface and never develop roots, when they fall away, they usually don't easily return to it. Why? Because you know what? They feel like they've tried it and it didn't work. When in fact, they never really tried it at all. They never really developed a deep, lasting faith where roots dig in for nutrients. Some ministries and churches fall into the trap of only trying to get people to accept Jesus, and they end up experiencing great turnover because they never end up building roots. They just scatter the seed of God on rocky soil, and there's no root system for them. The third type of people that Jesus talks about in this parable are people with diverted hearts. They get diverted easily. Look at verses 18 and 19. It says, still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Do you know who these people are? They're people who just keep getting close. They're getting close to it. Time and time again, they get close to really embracing Jesus, to really embracing the word of God, but then they get diverted by other things in life. They get diverted by stuff. They get diverted by their desires, and these things, they come in like hands choking around their developing faith throats and simply choke the life out of them. They keep showing up from time to time. They'll pop back in from time to time, but they never get past the fringes. They never get off the sidelines and step into the game because they're easily diverted and their roots can't grow down deep enough for it to last. You've seen people like this, haven't you? I've seen people like this. Over the years, I've learned you can't grow someone their faith based on their potential alone. I've seen so many people with such great potential to do incredible things for God, but who are always just kind of only reaching out part way, and then they're diverted away. Those awful thorns choke them out. Potential alone isn't enough. You've got to have the want to. You've got to have the desire. You've got to want your faith to go deep with Jesus and then follow that and want to follow that with actions that are going to help make your faith grow. You may have people in your life who have a diverted heart. And if you do, my guess is that many times you feel really frustrated with them. Because you're wanting so badly, you see that great potential, you're wanting so badly for it to take root, but they just kind of keep skimming the surface, and it never seems to happen. You know the potential because your life has been fully changed by Jesus and you want that. Listen to me very closely. Don't give up on them. Don't you dare give up on them. Don't stop praying for them. But also, don't be afraid to tell them what it is you're seeing. Maybe that's the encouragement they need to clear those thorns out of the flower bed so that the seed can finally grow into something beautiful. Here's the fourth type of people that Jesus talks about in this parable, the fourth soil, people with a fertile heart. A fertile heart. Hopefully, this is where we all want to be. Following alongside as we follow as we close with the scripture with this last verse in verse 20, where it says, "Others like seed sown on good soil hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what has been sown." I mean, wow. What a place to be. They have faith that produces great return. This is good soil. But good soil doesn't just happen. For good soil to be good, it has to be cultivated. It has to be worked. It has to be fertilized. Our hearts need to be cultivated. They're cultivated by living spiritual disciplines like studying our Bible and praying, fasting, giving, worshiping. All those things help to cultivate the soil of our hearts to be ready to receive the seed. Our hearts need to be worked. They're worked by stepping up to be involved in ministry, by serving Jesus and serving others. As we come to know our talents and our spiritual gifts, our abilities, our passions, and we use those in ministry in the church and the world around us, it works the soil for the seed so that it can grow and be healthy. And there's no age where you hang that up. You won't find retiring from God's work anywhere in the Bible. How you work your soil and serve may become different, but not serving isn't an option if you want to have ready soil. Our hearts need to be fertilized. Let me put it this way. Manure happens, friends. Manure happens. It happens. We're all going to have manure in our lives. We're all going to have times where our life really stinks and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to everyone, but that's just manure to fertilize our soul. Name it as fertilizer when it happens and keep going. And in the end, it'll make your soil fertile for great and bountiful growth. And when the soil is good, it'll produce 30, 60, 100 times what has been sown. This parable of Jesus teaches us a great deal. I mean, no fooling. The seed is the same. What God offers to all of us is the same. He doesn't play favorites, but because of the fact that he gives us choice, we control the condition of the soul of our hearts. He'll keep scattering that seed, and if you've not received it, when your soil's ready, you know what? You will. When that happens, the seed is going to take, and it's going to grow something beautiful. And you remember the message of the good soil, but also remember the message of the good sower. Without discrimination, God keeps scattering his seed among us. No matter what type of soil we are or those we love are, he's going to just keep sowing that seed in great anticipation of our hearts, a heart whose soil becomes ready to receive his word so that that seed can grow like gangbusters. In my years of ministry, I've had the privilege to watch people as their soil conditions have changed. I've watched people move out of rocks and clear away the thorns and the thistles to allow their hearts to be softened and for that seed to finally take root. In some cases, I didn't think it would ever happen. I'd practically given up on them, but then God broke through. I want to just conclude by giving you the story of one of those times. In one of the churches where we were serving, there was a guy there who became a friend of ours whose name's Kevin. And we got to know Kevin because his wife was working at the local Wendy's. And at Wendy's, there were a lot of people for some reason. She and her husband began to come to our church because his dad cut my hair. And they were new back to the community. They didn't know any young people. And he cut my hair. I was the associate pastor. He also cut our senior pastor's hair. And he said, you know what, these guys, the dad wasn't a Christian. He said, these guys just seem real. Why don't you go out to their church? I bet you can meet some young people out there. So they started coming to our church, and then this lady who was working at Wendy's started having some conversations with me, and then there were some people, some young people that worked at Wendy's with her who were interested in knowing something about God, so we formed this Bible study in this couple's home. And Kevin was the guy in this couple, and Kevin's, his friends, he didn't know Jesus, and his heart was hard. He would be there. He would sit through, and the whole night he would write down questions. And when the night was over, he would sit down with me and rattle off one question after another so I could tackle his questions. But the seed was like falling on a hard heart. It wasn't yet ready to see, receive. His heart wasn't fertile yet and needed to be cultivated. So we continued that for a while. As we were getting to know them, we learned a lot of things. They got married because they went to a party together some night. They didn't know each other. But they left and had a good time, and she got pregnant. And that's why they got married. Not out of love. They still struggled in that area in their life. And we knew they were struggling. We eventually kind of grew apart from them. And what ended up happening is that they got divorced. And then they were away for a while, and he was away for a while. And one day, Kevin comes to my office to see me. He's been dating another girl. A girl that I believe he'd probably been cheating with before he got divorced, that he was now going to marry. He'd been meeting with our lead pastor about getting married, but he came in to see me. He'd broken up with her, and he was broken. And he sat in my office with tears streaming down his face. And he was crying, and I was learning from him that he'd cheated on his wife many times. He was never really in love with her. His heart was softening. The soil was softening. Before this, when we still knew him, knew each other, when we were still together, he was coming to church, he went with our men in our church to a Promise Keepers weekend. And Luis Palau was there, evangelist Luis Palau. And Luis Palau shared the gospel message, and thousands of men went forward. Kevin was one of those to receive Christ. He went forward, but at that time, his soil was the soil with the thistles, with the thorns, that choked that message out very quickly because he was in life with these affairs. And it quickly choked that out, so the seed never took root. But as Kevin sat with me on this day, the tears were running down his face. He was broken before God, and his heart was finally ready to receive the seed. And he's just telling me, he said, I can't marry this person because this isn't right. I'm not in love with her, and I'm finally open to God. And as he's talking to me broken and confessing his life to me, I felt prodded by God to say to him, I felt like I needed to say to him, I said, Kevin, I need to ask you to forgive me. Because when we were meeting and we were at your house, I knew you and your wife were struggling. I knew that you guys were having a hard time, and I didn't do anything about it. I didn't try to help you. I didn't try to talk to you. I said, I should have. I wasn't being a friend. I said, will you please forgive me? And he just fell apart. And he said, you're asking me to forgive you with all the things I've done? You're asking me to forgive you? And friends, that's what we do, isn't it? That's what it's all about. I knew I needed his forgiveness because I had failed him as a friend. And that was the thing that broke that final layer of hardness that allowed that seed to finally sink into his heart, where he began to have a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And we formed this discipleship-like relationship. It wasn't anything formal. It wasn't anything set up. He'd come by the house and see Caroline and me and the kids we had at the time. And then he and I would meet, and I would go to his apartment that he moved into, a house he moved into. Now he's on his own. And we would meet and talk, and we just kept developing this relationship. And he kept growing and growing and growing as the seed took root to become a man of God. God can break through the hardest surface. God can soften the hardest soil so that as he scatters the seed, which he never stops doing, to the day you die, he keeps scattering that seed. Someday the heart's ready to receive. And then it takes root and change happens. I've not been in contact with Kevin in several years. Last I knew, he was part of a good church in Columbus. He married a Christian woman. They have a child together, involved in ministry in their church and growing. God can do it for you. He can do it for me. He can do it for those in our lives when our heart's ready to receive. Let's pray together. Father God, as we pray, I know that I need to start by thanking you for those people who were a part of scattering the seed into my life when my life was hard, my heart was hard, when I thought that I understood it and had it and didn't. And they kept praying for me and sowing that seed around me until there was a place my heart was ready to receive. And Jesus, you came in, and my life has never been the same. And so thank you. Thank you, good Father. Thank you, Jesus, Son. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for taking place in my heart. Thank you for the growth that's there and that you continue to do. And God, I just want to lift a prayer for anybody that we know that are connected to our lives in this room, who we know's hearts have been hard. Maybe there's the thistles that's choking things out. Maybe it's the on the rock where the roots haven't dug in. Maybe it's just a hard path where the birds are eating the seed up. Those people in our lives, God, we just want to join together. And they, people may even say their name out loud or in their hearts right now, that we just lift those people to you. Because it's your Holy Spirit that softens a heart. And we ask you to soften their hearts to receive. And God, for those in this room who know that their hearts have been hard to really receiving you, allowing those roots to grow down in so that something beautiful can come out. For those who've been holding back and been hard, in this room right now, I ask that you would soften their hearts to receive the seed that's a good seed, that comes from a good sower, that's readily available for us to accept. And if God is breaking your heart open today and breaking through that hard layer of your life and you want to receive the seed today, just invite Jesus in. Jesus, I'm ready. Come all the way into my heart today. Take root in my life. I'm ready to grow and be changed, to have a new life in you. Pray that and he'll hear that and he'll move in your heart. Thank you, Jesus. We love you and we pray in your name. Amen. Friends, I want you to understand that not only is it a good sower, but it's God who cultivates our hearts too, that works on them to make them ready. From the moment you were conceived, before that, I believe, because God knew about your conception before it happened. From that very moment, from the very beginning of what you are, God has worked in your life to draw you, to bring you into a relationship with him. He's been doing it your whole life. He's been using the events of your life, whether you know it or not, to be cultivating that heart, to make it ready, to get it ready, so that you might one day receive him. He's going to do that, and he's going to sow that seed till the day you die if you haven't received it. His heart is going to cry for you. It's going to weep like it did over Jerusalem as he was coming into the city, until you receive or until you no longer have hope left and your day is gone. God is making your heart ready to receive him. As we dismiss today, I'm going to stay right up front here on the steps in case anybody wants to talk further about that. Or if you have somebody that you've just been praying for and it seems like their heart's so hard and you'd just like to come pray with someone else, I want to invite you to come forward to do that too. And if there are others, maybe Caroline and Gary or others who want to be here to help pray with others if they want to come talk, just come make yourself available here in the front. And as we dismiss, if you just want to talk to somebody about any of this, we are here. We are ready to pray with you and talk with you. So go in the name of Jesus. And next week we talk about the great invitation that he gives us as we get ready to usher in Easter in just a couple weeks. Have a great week. God bless.